Amen. Please take your seat. What a wonderful day. I feel like crying, but men shouldn't cry. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15 says, "For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus have I begotten you through the gospel. We have indeed been visited by a father today." In 1995, somebody introduced me to the ministry of Bishop Dow. In 1997, I saw him with my two eyes on UST campus. In 2005, I went to a conference in Legon. That was ISI conference. The theme was significance. There I learned the principle of upward seed sowing into the life of higher men as Bishop Dow was teaching. That was the first time of hearing such a message. And few days later, I was sleeping in my room when I had an encounter with God. In this encounter, I've gone into a church building and I saw Bishop has finished preaching. He was sitting on the steps like this. And I went there and he was talking with me. When he finished, he said, "Let me go and change myself." And he turned like this. And as soon as he turned, I didn't see Bishop Doug again. I saw Jesus. He was transformed. And then he said to me, Jesus said to me, "Look for a seed and sow it for my servant." Then I said, "Oh, so what you was teaching in the conference, God is confirming it." After that encounter, so many doors opened for me because of one prayer he prayed for me. In 2016, something happened to a father, and I was thinking about what to do about the situation because it had to do with his family issues. And whilst I was praying, I had another encounter. In this encounter, I was welcomed into a room by Bishop Dad. When I entered the room, Archbishop Duncan William was sitting in the corner of the room. And Bishop said to me, "Go here." So I went there, and Archbishop began to talk. When he started talking, he started saying things about Reverend Akwesia Mwako of Resurrection Power, who had died many years ago. And as he was talking, I know that man has died. The man appeared in the room, and Bishop Salifu was following the man. I said, "My God." So when I wake up, I said that this thing that Bishop Doug has been teaching, my father, is not only a principle, it's a spiritual truth. And so that issue that bothered my mind was settled once and for all. Today, the man sitting in front of us here is not just a mere preacher. He's a pastor of pastors. And through him, I've had many encounters. He forwarded my book, Healing in His Wings. He gave me a lot of lighthouse churches to preach in both Ghana and in abroad. Many years ago, I used to wish I would meet one man of God. But through the same Bishop Doug, I had an encounter to meet Benny in his executive lounge. There were so many big men of God. And I was surprised Bishop did not turn me back, because I was just hiding myself to find a way in that place. He just looked at me, and Benny Hinn lay hands on me in Bishop's place. I have tied my destiny to his apostolic and prophetic apron for 20 years. And I have the honor of him visiting our church and sitting by him in my lifetime. An opportunity millions may never get. Not thousands, millions may never get. I am forever grateful to the pastor of pastors for loving me. Bishop could have gone to thousands of places on Sunday morning, but he has shown me special love today. Many people are wondering and asking, "How can Bishop come to your church on Sunday morning?" And I replied, exceptional grace has located me. Ladies and gentlemen, Galatians 4:14 says, in my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, and even as Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, let us welcome the international evangelist, the founder of Lighthouse Chapel, my father, Bishop Daguerre Mills. Somebody give a shout!
Your hands. Jesus, thank you for your blessing, for this great ministry here. Thank you for what you have done, are going to do. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Yeah. Please be seated. What a blessing to be here this morning. I have been very blessed with your church, your music, your dancing, your drama. And very ministered to. And I've never been in such a nice tent before. I don't know if it's a tent. But is this a tent? Wow. It's a tabernacle. I can see the mighty building that is there. And I know that there are many great things in store. God is doing great things. So, it's an honor for me to be here. And I've known your pastor for some years. I believe that he's known me longer than I've known him. And God's power is on his life. Yes. You know, if you have ever started a church, you will know that for a church to grow for more than 20 members is a miracle. And for a church to have 100 members, it's not a small thing. And to have hundreds of members, it's not a small thing. And for people to be happy to be in the church, it's not a small thing. So there's a grace and a power here. The power of God is such that you can't see it, but you can see the effect of it, like the wind. The wind you cannot see, but you can see the effect. That's how the power of God is. You can't even know when there is power, but you start to see the effects. And you are all here because of the anointing that is on your pastor's life and because of the power of God that is here. So I believe that you are in a good place. Holy Hill is a blessed place. Do you know that Holy Hill is Kodesh? English of Kodesh. So you have received the art of following. Hallelujah. Pastor, let me pray for you. Father, thank you for your blessing upon your servant. Honor him. Celebrate him. Expand him. And the nearest trap that is waiting for him, we cover it. He will not fall into it. The nearest hole that he's supposed to fall into, dark hole, he will not fall into it anymore. But he will walk over it in a supernatural way. And he will escape the enemy's trap for his life. Thank you for this blessing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. You know, some of the greatest blessings are very short. That's what I'm realizing. You know, when God told Adam and Eve, in the sweat of your face you eat bread, it's just a sentence, about 7 words. It has changed. The struggle in the world is too much. The servant of servants you'll be. Not a lot of talking. And it has changed so many things. So, may your brother serve you. It has changed so much. Cursed be those who curse you. Hey. It's they are very powerful, but very short. So you have to respect simple words that are spoken, because there is power in those words. Please take your seats. Ida, sing a song for us.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon the man of God. He is anointed to preach the word of God. And heal my broken heart and your broken heart by the anointing. When I have tears on my pillow and pain in my heart, Jesus heals my heart. Oh my Jesus, he has the power. The Holy Spirit, he is the comforter in my life. Oh, Jesus is anointed to heal my broken heart. Oh, yeah. When I have tears on my pillow and pain in my heart, he is there for me. Oh, my. When I have tears on my pillow and pain in my heart, he is there for me. Oh, 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 my heart. My tender heart, it's been broken so many times by so many things. Whoa, whoa. But Jesus healed me He healed me time and time and time and time again. Hallelujah. When I have tears on my pillow and pain in my heart, Jesus healed my heart. Oh, 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 yeah.
By a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. And by a prophet was he preserved. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.
Jesus is anointed, anointed to heal your broken heart. Oh, yes, he is. When you have tears on your pillow and pain in your heart, he's there for you. Listen, there was a widow who lived in the city of Nain. Oh, she was broken. Her son had died, and she could not be comforted. But one day she met Jesus, and he raised her son back to life again. Oh, when she had tears on her pillow and pain in her heart, Jesus healed her heart. Oh, listen, there was another woman was bent over for 18 years. No one loved her. And you know what? No one showed her any kindness. But one day she met Jesus. He said to her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." His power touched her body. She stood up that day, and she was healed. Oh, oh, oh. There was yet another woman. Remember that woman with the issue of blood. Had been bleeding for 12 long years. Oh, and she suffered many things. Oh, from many physicians. But she reached out and saw the hem of his garment.
Let us pray. Father, thank you for today, for the blessing that is released in our lives as we receive your word. Thank you. Everyone here is going to be transformed, changed by your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Today I want to share with you about a simple subject, the subject of keys. Keys to where you need to go. Amen. Now, how many know that we are in a kingdom that operates with keys? We are in a kingdom that operates through keys, keys, keys. Amen. Jesus said, I give you the keys of the kingdom. Is that not so? So we are in a kingdom that operates through mighty keys. It's not every kingdom. It's not every kingdom that operates with keys, but we operate through keys. Matthew 16, verse 19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Amen. So our kingdom has keys. All right? So what we need to be empowered is a key. If you are standing in front of a car, what you need is the key to the car. You don't even need prayer. You may pray. Shebalabalaba. In Jesus' name. You know, that's what makes sometimes people laugh at us. Because you don't need prayer. You need the key. You need the key to the car. And if you have the car will respond to you. You'll be able to enter the car and use the car. Oh, I'm wrong. Yeah. Supposing the car is even for you. And you don't have the key. You'll be standing there and you are going to start fasting. What you need is the key to the car. And the car will suddenly come to life. When you look at the keys in the kingdom, we have people standing and doing everything else apart from finding the key that you need. Because our kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, is a kingdom which operates with keys. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. This is what Jesus said. I'll give you the keys to the kingdom. The keys. Now, when your choir was singing, I was looking out to see how many of them were married. And I didn't see too many. But God is going to place in your hand the key to marriage. Do you believe it? You are going to have many weddings in this church. All unmarried girls, get ready to marry this year. In Jesus' name. But you need the key to marriage. Yes. And the key to marriage is not doing hair, makeup, and all these things. If you are a pastor and you officiate a lot of weddings, you will notice one thing. One thing. You know, I hope your eyes are open so that you notice things. If you are a pastor and you officiate weddings, you will notice that it's not the most beautiful girls who get married. Sometimes when they are coming to get married, you even look around and say, But the brother didn't see all these other ones. So, you need the key. It's not about hair. It's not about lipstick. There are keys to marriage, to getting married. And one wedding we had, I preached about three keys to getting married. Yes. So, I want you to know that we are in a kingdom that operates with keys. So when you are standing in front of the house, a beautiful house, and you cannot enter, you need the key to the house, not prayer, not fasting, not shouting. Don't shout, you need the key. You're standing in front of the BMW, you start shouting, hey, look, it will not make the car move and it will not make the car come to you. All what you need is the key. And when you have the key, the car will respond to you and you'll be moving, you'll be flying. I see a key being given to you today. Amen. Turn with me to Luke 11. Luke 11, verse 52. Woe unto you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. Woe unto you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. And you entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering, you hindered them. So here he's telling us what a key is. The key of knowledge. The knowledge is a key. Whether you believe it or not, whether you like it or not, knowledge is a key. It opens doors. And you start to lose what you have when you don't have knowledge. You see, one of the difficulties of being in a government is that when you become part of the government, you become, or you start to have blind spots. And sometimes the blind spot becomes so much that you almost become totally blind. That's why when they are there, you wonder whether they can't see what is happening in the country. Do you see? You wonder whether, can you people see what is happening? Because they are ordinary people who become presidents and government people. They are ordinary people. They are normal Ghanaians for years and years. And then suddenly they go there. And then when they get there, the longer they stay, the more that they don't seem to see simple things that everybody, all of us, can see. So when you are blinded or you have blind spots, you lack knowledge. Like, it's as if you don't know anymore. You don't know what is here. You don't know what is here. That's why sometimes they are surprised. These people were surprised that they lost their election. They are shocked. Up till today, they are shocked that they lost the election. Even up till now. But the losing was so big that you can't even, it wasn't 20,000. It was millions. Millions. And you are surprised because when you are there, you can't see. And the people who have gone there, it started already. The blindness. It comes. No, every leader, every position comes with that. In my position, there are things I don't see. You see, so that's why it is very important to understand the importance of knowledge wherever you are. Even a pastor, you may not know, let's say the man of God over here, but you may not know that there is a toilet without water and that people are really struggling over there because maybe the pastor has a special toilet. Do you see? So you may not know all those things are cut off from you. So you are blinded and you don't know what's happening. And then so that you get surprised that some people have left the church because of toilet. It's the same thing. Whether it's these people, or even the pastors. It's all to all of us. So one of the things that Paul prayed for, Ephesians 1:17, when he was praying for the church, he says that God, the Father of Jesus Christ, would give you the Spirit. You see, it's an anointing. The anointing of wisdom and revelation. Revelation means that things will be revealed to you, that you will know things. Because the less you know, the more difficult your life is. Like some of you, like I talk about getting married, if you were to know maybe only one thing, you just get married. By June, you'll be married. It's like that. Church growth, prosperity, all the things we desire come through this particular key, the key of knowledge. I don't know what you need. And that is why knowledge is celebrated, and you see that people want to go to the university, because if you don't go to the university, it's like you lack some knowledge. But even that knowledge, when you come into real life, after going to the university, you need another kind of knowledge to be able to succeed in life. You get it? That's why you can have a president who doesn't go much to school, better at being a leader than somebody who's gone to school a lot. Because apart from the book knowledge, there is practical knowledge. It's called phronimos, practical wisdom. Yes. That is the word that was used. That kind of wisdom is the word that was used for the 10 virgins. The 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. The wise there is phronimos. It means practical things. You see, you dress and everything, all the posh things for a wedding, but practical thing of the oil for the light, you didn't do it. So sometimes some practical things you are not told, or you don't know, and it really affects you. The practical things are some of the things that we lack. So God is trying to decrease our blind spots. Yes. That is all my life. I pray more. This is my biggest and longest prayer top. I can spend 8 hours praying only for the spirit of revelation and wisdom to know. And revelation is to do with knowledge, and wisdom has to do with what to do practically. You see, look, no one who has ever been in charge of Ghana is a fool. Only knowledgeable people have been chosen. Even people who have been to the highest universities. But when they travel from abroad, they've seen everything abroad, how abroad is. Do you know abroad? I say, how abroad is. Huh? You see it on TV. You'll be there soon. The prophecy you believe is the one that will happen. How abroad is. Huh? They've been there. But when they land at Kotoka, and they are now coming to be in charge, how to practically do it. You see that? That is the wisdom part. Wisdom is defined in the dictionary as the ability to use knowledge. How to practically use the knowledge. Let's take the government we just finished, that have just gone. The vice president was a lecturer in economics. Not that he knows economics, so he teaches it. It's not that he doesn't know economics, though. He knows it to the extent of teaching it. And one time when I was talking with him, he explained to me that his field was the history of economics. Like how the history, because I was telling him some of the things I know. So it's not that they don't know. They know many things. How to actually use it. That's where the disconnection comes in. Pastors are the same. You will read a book or you see something God is doing, and then how to practically do it here in at Circle. So when I come here, you know what I see? I see your pastor is somebody who has seen things, he knows things, and how to practically do it, he's doing it practically here. So for many of us, the first thing is that we don't know at all. And then that is, you don't know. So that's why you need revelation. Ephesians 1:17, the spirit of light, it should be revealed to you. Then when it is revealed to you and you know, whether you've seen a book or a tape or a message or you heard it or you read it or you saw it or you studied it, how to practically roll up your sleeves and do it practically here. That's wisdom. You can check the dictionary when you go, the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to apply your knowledge and your experiences and all that you have known and experienced and been taught practically to use it. That's the part. So our people there, they are full of knowledge. Yes. Yes. But how to practically do it? That is it. So, this is the master key. And I want all of us to respect knowledge, because it is the Holy Spirit. You see, let me tell you something. Where is the Spirit? The madman of Gadara had a legion which is 6,278 demons. That's one legion, something like that. Because 6,200 men and 70 or so, 80 horsemen make one legion. So if you take a human being like me, where will 6,000 demons fit? So there's a question that people ask, how many demons can fit on the tip of your finger? Because 6,000 is a lot of people. It's a large number of people. So where is the Spirit? A spirit is not something we can easily understand or relate with us when we are in the flesh. If you want to understand what is a spirit, when we talk of a spirit is in you, a spirit is in somebody, then you have to believe the Bible. Listen, the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to pulling down of strongholds, 2 Corinthians 10:4. All right? And then the casting down imaginations. You see, casting down imaginations, the imaginations are the demons. That's why you cast them down. Look at the verse before, verse 4. It says, weapons are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. So our weapons and casting down of the devil is the casting down of imaginations. When Jesus met the devil in the wilderness,
the devil kept on bringing ideas and he kept on rebuffing those ideas. So when there's a thought in you, there's a spirit in you. That's why what you cast is the imagination. When there is a thought and imagination in you, there is a spirit in you. Stand up. It will not happen. But let's say this man is angry. He has angry thoughts. He's angry. Why am I saying that? Why am I talking like this? What am I saying? And those are the thoughts in his mind. There is a spirit in him. An evil spirit in him. That's why he's thinking that way. So the presence of the imagination is the presence of the demon. If you have somebody who is disloyal here, the presence of the disloyal spirit is making him think of how he will turn against you and how he will live and how he will behave. So it's the presence of the demon, it's the presence of the imagination. So how you know a spirit is there is by a thought or an imagination right there. That's why. That's what we cast down. That's what we cast down. Casting down imaginations. It will never happen in Jesus' name. Now, when you have the Holy Spirit, you also start to have certain knowledge. You also start to think a particular way. So when we talk about empowerment of the Holy Spirit, it's about being empowered with certain thoughts and ideas are in a person. That's why he said, I pray since I saw you that God will give you not a mood or an attitude or knowledge, but a spirit of revelation, spirit of wisdom, revelation in the knowledge of Christ. Isaiah 11, verse 1, he says, I will put my spirit on him. All right? There shall come out of Jesse, and the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Now look at the spirit of the Lord, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding. Now, all this have to do with the mind, though. Wisdom, it has to do with the thinking. How do you think? How do you think? Wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, spirit of knowledge, spirit of the fear of the Lord. Only one has to do with like something like a kind of power. That's the spirit of might. But all the seven spirits of the Lord are spirit of something to do with your thought. So when there's a mind or an imagination in you, say it's a spirit that is in you. Yes. So God wants you to have certain thoughts. That's why the more you listen to preaching, the more you change, the Holy Spirit comes into you more. Yes. The more you listen to preaching, you will think that you are just getting knowledge, but you are getting a spirit. Yeah, you think that you are just getting knowledge. It's not knowledge. Lecturers, you see, the knowledge that comes from a school, it's even if you can see somebody is demonized, you go to a school and they teach you atheism. There's no God, evolution. Then you start to say there's no God. God, there's nothing like God. You see that you are full with demons. There's no knowledge that is just blank. It's like music. There's no blank music. Every music has a spirit. The word, the spirit is in the word. That's what the Bible says in Ephesians. It says, be filled with the spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and songs. So you are filled with the spirit when you hear words being spoken to you. So that's why Christian music is not just music, but music with the words that speak. When the music doesn't speak to you, it depends on what the music is speaking. Then the spirit is in the, you start to be filled with the spirit as you are being spoken to. So be filled with the spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So me, I became anointed by listening to preaching. Oh, yes. And that's how I became anointed. If I was not anointed, I cannot do what I'm doing. Oh, yes. If I was not anointed, I cannot do what I'm doing. There is a spirit upon me and in me. Yes. That enables me to do what I'm doing. Yeah. It's true. I started a church in Kolegono. In Kolebu. I've left it. It's there. And it's full. And then I moved to the Kodesh. I started, it's full. And I've left it and I've moved to another one. And it's also full. Yes. So, and we are all there. We have more churches and cathedrals. Yes. If the Holy Spirit is not in me, you know. But what is the Holy Spirit? That's why I'm saying that. What is a spirit? Because if there are 6,000 spirits in one man, then where do they fit? Are they like balloons or what? Do you understand? It's not something that we easily understand. So you must believe that spirits move with words. Jesus said, John 6:63, the words that I speak to you, the words are spirit. So it's like the word is the spirit. So if you want more power, more anointing in your life, listen to the word more, all that, like me, listen to the word all the time. You'll be very anointed. You listen to me, I don't mind telling you the message I listen to, because I know you will not listen to it the way I listen to it. Yes. I can show you what I read, and I can show you what I listen to, but I know you won't have time to listen to it. The way I listen to messages, you won't listen to it that way. So it will not benefit you. Yes. You must open your heart to the Holy Spirit. You know, in 1988, I was in medical school. Then I went to Suhum for, you know, we have to go to the village to stay there for some time. So just here, Suhum, I was there for 1 month. Suhum Hospital. One night, whilst I was there, you know, do you know in Sawam, they sell some bread there. You know that the bread is Sawam bread. I bought some. So that was what I had with coffee. So I was just with my Sawam bread and my coffee. I finished all my work as a medical. So just my final year, I was just a few months to become a doctor. One night, I was there. And I knelt down on my knees to pray. And I was listening to Kenneth Hagin preaching all night. Two nights ago, I was listening to the same messages again. All night till the morning. All night. That's why I said, I will show you what I listen. Even the message, I will give it to you. But you don't have time. So, in the night, around 7, I decided to pray and I knelt down by my bed like this. And then the tape was played. Those days, we used tapes. There was nothing like CD. And there was the things we have now, we don't have it. So, the tape recorder was playing auto-reverse. When it finished here, it comes back. It finishes, it comes back. Come, go, come. So, it was playing. It played all night till the morning. So, I was on my knees and I fell asleep. Then I woke up at around 2 a.m., 3 a.m. in Suhum. There are rooms that they have for medical students. And I was there and I was praying. Suddenly, this is a message I've listened. I know all the stories I've heard 100 times. Same story. But I like listening to it when I'm praying, especially. Suddenly, something jumped out of the tape. Something jumped out and entered my belly. Then I heard a voice in the room. And the voice said, "From today, you can teach. From today, you can teach." I was 25 years old. Listen, I was 25 years old. "From today, you can teach." Then I heard another voice. This is a different voice. You see, a lot of people say they are prophets. When you are a prophet, you have to tell the truth. That's the first thing. There are different types of voice, different ways of hearing. The second voice was different from the first one. But the second voice said, "I will prove it to you. From that time in 1988 up till today, he has been proving it to me. He said, from today you can teach. Now I am teaching as an apostle with many, many churches. I teach as a writer and author with more than 15 million books. Million. Yes. I teach as a shepherd, as a pastor. I have my congregation with thousands every Sunday. I am teaching as a prophet. If you a true prophet is somebody who says something and it comes to pass. Yes. All the last three elections, including this one, I told the people. Once some people came, I said, you can't win. I said, you can't win. Yes. They were shocked. They came again. I said, you still cannot win. Another time I told another, I said, you can win. My prophecies are casual. You will not know that I'm prophesying. Yes. So, from today you can teach in different ways. It's been happening and it's working. But I want you to know that, you see, it came to me through exposing myself to the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of revelation. And not being tired, not thinking I know. That's why we don't know, because we think we know. Do you think in 4 years' time there will be water running in Accra? I'm asking you a question. You think so? Is there water running now? Aha, so you don't know. You don't know the answer. So I will not also tell you the answer. Yeah. Because we believe we know, whereas we don't know. That's why when knowledge is coming, it's blocked. Because if you had said, I can't see, then somebody would have said, okay, then let me help you to see. But since you say you can see, so okay, then walk by yourself. If you had said, I can't see, somebody would have helped you. But you say, I can see, so we leave you. Like the blind man who was here. Now, in my wonderful book here, The Art of Leadership, I see my books are here. The Art of Leadership. There's one book called The Art of Leadership. I want to show you. Ah, okay, yeah. You see, but most Christians don't read books, so. Even when they buy books, like when somebody is launching a book. Me, I don't launch my books. When people are, I've launched before, but I don't launch anymore. When people, they buy a book to encourage the person who preached and like a kind of fundraising. And then they don't read it. How many have done so before? You bought a book, but you didn't read it. Raise your hand. Yeah. That cannot benefit you. Let me give you 4 keys, because I've finished preaching. But I'm showing you 4 keys. 4 keys that are, but it's in the book. In case you are interested. If you are interested, you can check in on it. Chapter 21. Choose hard and difficult things instead of nice and easy things. Amen. Choose difficult things when you are choosing. Instead of nice and easy. And you will move forward very fast in your life. So when you have a choice between hard and difficult, okay, or nice and easy, choose the hard ones. And you'll find that you are going hard. Look, it is easier not to go to school and just go and find a job at SSB as a to clean the glass, the door. You'll get a job just now. It's easy. Choose the hard of going to school. Hard and difficult. You go higher, faster, your life will be better. Everything is like that. Ministry. Don't break somebody's church to start your church. Just start. It's harder. But it takes you higher and further. Number two, which is chapter 22. Readily embrace new ideas. These are, I'm giving you wisdom. Readily embrace new ideas. Isaiah 43:19. Behold, I do a new thing. A new commandment I give unto you. 2 Corinthians 5. If any man is in Christ, he's new. Hebrews 8:13. A new covenant. Readily embrace new ideas. For 60 years, Ghana is being led by a certain way, traditional way of leadership. Whether NPP or NDC. It doesn't lead to riches and prosperity. It has not. Look, just take Accra Kumasi Road. I mean, up till today, there is no road from here to Kumasi. You drive and then you go on red sand. As if, you see, it was in 1875 when they found steel in America and started making the story buildings that are in New York. 1875. What we say? Do you understand, Ghana? This same way is not going to get going for a contract from China, going for a loan from European Union. I am, it will not, is it? It has not, it's 60. We are 60 years old in March. We are in January, February, March. So we are 60 years old of managing or mismanaging our own affairs. And we cannot connect the main cities in Ghana. Only 250 kilometers. When you go to Jerusalem, next time you go to Israel, you will land in Tel Aviv. And from Tel Aviv, you'll be there. You will be there. Yeah. Now, when you go to Jerusalem, the other place you must visit is Galilee. The two main places, Galilee and Jerusalem. Now, the distance is the same distance from Accra. Accra Cape Coast or Accra, almost Accra Kumasi. Accra Kumasi is 250, Cape Coast like 200, 150, 200. Takrad is 213. Yeah. The people will tell you, oh, you can stay in Jerusalem and come. Because there is a road. Like two main places is connected. You can stay in Jerusalem, come to Galilee. You can stay in Galilee, come to Jerusalem. You don't need to move from here to here. You don't have, but if you like, you can go here. Now, you just take a car and it's just, it's Accra Kumasi. A mobile. So, readily embrace new ideas. If you don't accept a new thing, you will not be, you'll be surprised you can't do well. I'm telling you. All through my life and ministry, it has been a master key. New things. I never go somewhere and don't learn something new. When I came here, I've learned something new. I've learned something new already. Oh, yes. I've learned something new already. Oh. Maybe you don't want to embrace new things. Yeah. Some of you can count the boys you've slept with. The boys who you thought you would marry, up to now, none of them has resulted in marriage. Why don't you try something new? Maybe your way of getting married is not working. Yes. Readily, it's a chapter in the book. You see, leadership is lead yourself. Readily embrace new ideas, chapter 22. Read it and meditate on it. It's a spirit of wisdom. Spirit of revelation. Yeah. By the time they finish making the road, you see that the road is full. Like N1. It's full. You can't even drive on it. Yes. It's a two mobile. And chapter 23. I'm just giving you four keys. Value people. Value what?
People.
Amen. Ruth in the Bible was worth more than seven sons. Yes. Ruth. She said, you are my daughter-in-law. You are worth more to me than seven sons. Ruth 4:15. Elkanah was worth more than 10 sons. Elkanah said to her husband, why weepest thou? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? David was worth more than 10,000. 2 Samuel 18 verse 3. The people said, thou shalt not go forward, for thou art worth 10,000 of us. You know, if you don't know people, people are valuable. Very important. You prosper more by knowing the right people and by treating people well. These people who just came out, a lot of people say the people are, they are rude. They were rude. Talk anyhow to anybody. You see them insulting pastors. You have to value your pastors in your country. You can't insult pastors. You can't take a pastor and just ridicule him and insult him. You got to value the pastors in the country. You have to value rich people. A rich person is not a thief. The fact that he has money doesn't mean that he's a thief. Okay. All rich people, you can't do that. You drive away prosperous people, drive away pastors, drive away certain people. You have to value people. You have to know the value of a pastor and the value of a servant of God. Yes. That's why men of God go away. And when they go away, we have a great loss. If you didn't have your pastor, what hope is there out there? What hope is there? You see, people don't know why people come to church. Come to church because there is hope. At least through God, there can be some help. If nothing is even working, God can help us. That's why people go to church all the time. People don't know why people are coming to church. What are they telling you? They say, what are they telling you? Yeah. Value. I have valued men that God has given me in my life. Have been the most precious thing. Yes. Through them. You see, there is a principle that you cannot break. The lesser is blessed of the greater. And he says, blessings that make you great. He says, I will bless you and make you great. Your name shall be great. So it's blessings that make you great. Blessings make a person great. Blessings make you great. So if you have quarreled with your father, quarreled with your mother, quarreled with your pastor, quarreled with every important person, how can a blessing be given to you by such people? Blessings make you great as a person. I will bless you and make thy name great. That's all. So, value people. Value God's servants. Yes. Don't take them as nothing. Some years ago, they came to break down our wall. The government came to break down our wall. They took me as nothing. They just came, broke down the wall, sent soldiers. What have you? They thought I was just, you can just ride over me. 1998. From that time, anyone around me in my influence would have found it difficult to vote for the people who came to break down the walls. Yes. And even now, you see, one politician said something to me, said that there are two people that are controlling the nation. Pastors and teachers. Because they can say something in a way, then everybody's mind is changing. Yes. So if you disregard, you are hurting yourself. Why should I vote for you to come and continue breaking my church? And I have over 3,000 churches. Yeah. And a lot of people. See, Good Friday, more than inauguration. We don't bring people from outside. We don't pay anybody. Yeah? So you have to be careful. You have to be careful with people. Don't value young people. So he's a small boy. So, you only value people who are selling cutting materials and iron rods and shoe people who have shops at Abosokai. But when you see young children, you say, that's why you are poor. Because you don't know what is valuable. You ask, where do you get loyal people from? I can't find hardly anybody who has not been with me for 20 years and more. They started with me as children. Almost everybody around me, I officiated their wedding. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And right now, I'm with children. So you don't value what is valuable. Oh, let them go. Oh, they are small boys. They don't have money. They don't have BMW. They don't have car. They don't have this. We don't value the poor people in the country. Don't value the ordinary people. Just value those who are staying at airport and Laboni. You make only roads for them always. Go to airport and see the road is always done. Go to Sampa, come to Odoko, come to whatever, and you see. As if those of us staying there are ghosts. So pray for a mind. God, give me that mind and understanding. And the last, if you cannot lead, you cannot read. You cannot read, you cannot lead. If you cannot read, you cannot lead. Reading, your master key to knowledge. Reading. Do you often see a granola seller reading? Only the top 20% of society reads. It's only when you are in the upper class of the society that you read. Do you normally see your kenke seller reading? So you want to buy or give me 2 bucks. Oh, wait, I'm reading something. I'm underlining something in my book. Have you seen it before? Your watcher said, like, will she be reading? So I'm just underlining something in my book. I'm coming. I'll serve you a watcher just now. Have you seen a doctor reading?
Yes.
Lawyers reading?
Yes.
Upper class, they are the readers. You are joining the upper class.
Yeah.
You are joining the upper class.
Yeah.
That's why the church is important. I'm teaching you to read. Yes. I'm teaching you to read. You read. Don't be saying, oh, when I read, I'll become rich. You start reading and start applying. Knowledge and revelation is a key. He says, woe to you, you have taken the key. What you need is the key. You're standing in front of the car. You are shouting, hey, hey, hey. Don't open it. It needs a key. And the key is knowledge. Knowledge. I'm giving you wisdom. Value people. Embrace new ideas. Read. And what was the first one? Do hard things. Choose the hard things. You see, like your church. Choose the hard thing of building the church. Build it. Don't buy cars. Don't spend money on, don't do stuff. You see, when you see people, the first thing you do when you come to government is to buy cars. You can see that already. I want to tell you as a church, don't buy cars. Build your church nicely. All here is for you, isn't it? Yes, build it. Suffer to build the church. Don't spend money on other things. Build it. Struggle. That's why we don't have roads. That's why we don't have school. That's why we don't have so many things. Because first thing is to buy cars. It's toys. It says African leaders. Eyemobowa. Those of you who don't have houses, you are buying expensive cars. Huh? You are buying expensive cars. You are buying expensive cars. You don't have a house. You are a pastor. You don't have a church building. You are buying cars. You are not afraid. You are just a typical poverty streak. It's called the poor man's wisdom. Poor people, that's how they think. First thing, Charlie, let me get the car so that everybody will see that, yeah, I've made it. You are going higher in Jesus' name. Stand to your feet, everybody. How many believe that God is giving you a master key? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge. Bow your heads. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, if you are here today, you don't know Jesus as your savior. Maybe somebody invited you to church, but you are not born again. But you want to be born again. You want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ today. God bless you. If you are here like that, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. If you are here like that, lift your right hand like this up high, and I'm going to pray with you. God bless you. I see so many hands. Maybe somebody invited you, but you want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life and my heart to Jesus Christ today. Then I want you to lift your hand like this. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I see all hands. If you've lifted your hand outside, inside, everywhere, at the back, far, anywhere, all those outside, everyone, you can hear me. Lift your hand if you want to give your life and come to me. Come, walk to the front, walk to me here. I want to pray for you here.
I surrender all.
God bless you. Come, stand here.
Surrender.
Come, let me pray for you. God bless you. Let me pray with you. Come,
all to thee.
God bless you. Come from outside. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ today. Then come.
Surrender.
Clap for them as they come. Clap for them. Encourage them. Clap for them as they come. God bless you. Keep clapping. Keep clapping. Keep clapping. Keep clapping.
Jesus, I surrender.
Lift your hands.
To be my blessed Savior.
Say this prayer. Lord Jesus. Everyone join in. Lord Jesus. Quickly. All those coming, come quickly. I'm waiting for you. Come. If you are here, you maybe you didn't lift your hand, but you want to change your mind and lift your hand to give your life to Jesus. Lift it and come quickly. I wait for you. Come. Come. I want Jesus. There's no better decision than Jesus. Come. Quickly, ma'am. Quickly. All right. Say this prayer. Close your eyes. Say, Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. I'm sorry for my wicked ways. Have mercy on me. Please cleanse me from my sins and wash me from my sins today. Have mercy on me. I give my heart to Jesus Christ. Wash away my sins, Lord Jesus. Please write my name in the book of life. From today, I open my heart and I receive Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. Thank you, Jesus. From today, I will follow you. From today, I will serve you. From today, I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving me today. Now say after me, Satan, listen carefully. From today, I will not serve you again. I will not follow you again. I belong to Jesus Christ. Lift your two hands, everyone, and say, thank you, Jesus, for saving me today. In Jesus' name, amen. Put your hand on your head. Let me pray for everyone. Father, I pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to be imparted to everyone. Receive it now. Receive the power of God, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. You'll never be the same again. The key of knowledge, the key of wisdom, the key of understanding, the key of counsel, the grace of God is imparted to you today. Now lift your two hands. Thank God right now for His blessing. Father, I thank you. Holy Hill is a blessed church. Anyone who comes here is blessed. When they come, Lord, let them come again. And when they go home, let them come with more people. Let this be an overflowing assembly. Let it give birth to many other churches. Let there be thousands and thousands of people that call Holy Hill their home. Anyone that is standing here today is receiving the grace of God on their lives. A key is imparted into your hand that are lifted up. That key will open doors. Will open doors to prosperity. Open doors to cars. Open doors to houses. And above all, it will open doors in the kingdom. Whatever is in the kingdom that you need, God is opening the door to you now. Whatever you lack, God is giving it to you. Your long-awaited marriage comes on now through the key that is in your hand. Your long-awaited blessing is coming straight into your hand by the master key that is placed into your hand. Receive it now in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone shouted, Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.